everyone. Thanks for tuning into the Message podcast of Friends Church. My name is Alessandra. I'm one of the team members here, and we're so glad that you're joining us. It's been really encouraging to hear stories from people all over the country and the world who are listening in. We really hope that our messages are resonating with you. We also wanted to say thank you to those who are contributing to Friends Church. All of the things we're able to do, it's because of people who donate regularly. Even small, consistent gifts help a lot. If you haven't had the chance yet to give, I would encourage you to maybe think about doing that, especially if it's been beneficial in your own journey. To do that, it's really easy. Just go to our website, friendschurch.ca, and click on the Donate tab, or download our Friends Church app and click on the Give tab. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. Okay. Everyone okay this morning? Just not? All right, this is good. I love, you know, the fact that we have faces in this place. It's a little bit more of a friendly environment. So I had a big intro to my message kind of written, and last night I was watching TV and saw this CBC documentary. And it was about a series of churches that are connected. And Kathy and I just stumbled into it. And I went, wait, what's going on here? This CBC, this is a church service going on. They're recording it. So we just kind of jumped in, and it seemed like a pretty exciting documentary on a series of churches and the people in it. They had the cameras in on church services, big bands and smoke and lights. And it was just, I mean, the performance was amazing. And, you know, they pan across the audience and all these people are standing and in this expressive state of singing. And then it flashed to the speaker, and then they would take the cameras into homes where groups were meeting to study the Bible. And there was another time where someone after the service was coming up and asking for help from one of the pastors, and the pastor's praying for that person. It was fascinating. I'm like, wow, this CBC is doing this. And everything just seemed so positive, so upbeat, so exciting about what was happening within these type of communities that were all kind of connected. And then halfway into the documentary, the tone changed quite a bit, and they began interviewing people that were no longer a part. They were people that had once attended. And each of them had a different story, but I remember one in particular. She couldn't stop herself from crying. She's saying, it's sad. I look at some of the video that you guys have put together, and it stirs up memories. I miss sometimes that I once spent in that community, but there is a deep sadness in me that a lot of what I learned, a lot of what I believed in that season didn't actually end up working for me. Like, it was... believed all these things, and then in life it was so much different. And she came to the point where she just said, I couldn't reconcile what I believed and what I was experiencing in that community and then what my real life was. And so she stepped out, she walked away. You know, as I'm watching this show, it's kind of like, this ugly feeling inside of me kind of rose up. It's not like I hadn't heard that story before. In fact, you know, there are many people I'm looking at who are here even this morning. In knowing some of your stories, there was a moment when perhaps you experienced, in fact, the reason you're here even was because of a faith ending or a journey ending event in your life that said, I'm out. No way. Don't believe this. Or I'm not buying it. Or this. It can't be that. It can't be this. Whatever. And you walked away. I've heard this story so often. It's a common, common story. People who experience some form of spirituality, Christianity. I mean, I speak to Christianity because that's kind of the tradition I'm familiar with. But something doesn't go the way they thought it should, or things happen, and then they hit the eject button and stop. And it got me thinking a lot about what it is that causes people to eject quickly. Before what I think is the gold of the spiritual journey, before what I think is can give our lives such incredible richness and meaning. What causes this? And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about it. I think when I listened to what this woman was saying specifically, who stepped out of the whole thing, I heard in the things that she was saying some things that I hear often. If I was to characterize some of what I've watched, and again, this is a lot of my kind of humble opinion, I think many people are given kind of a fast food experience on the front end of their spiritual journey. Something that tastes really good, that's super sexy, that is filled with all kinds of promises, and then later it doesn't quite work out the way that they were originally told. Some are told that this thing, this spiritual journey thing, is a ticket to just a better life, completely better life. A better life that the people who don't have spirituality will never experience. Some people are sold that this actually is a ticket to greater health. That a connection with the supernatural can actually infuse health into your body. That you will be healthier than those that don't have faith. Some believe that a faith will actually give them greater protection over them, over their family. Ward off tragedy or crisis. Through prayer, like Vince talked about, or different things, we don't have to experience what people who don't pray, people who don't believe, experience. Maybe some of you are in here going, wait, wait a second. This isn't part of the deal? I don't get the opportunity to kind of look and see how everything goes down. All I'm saying is, these are common promises made in many environments that are spiritual. People coming in and going, sign me up, I want that. And the grand prize of heaven that's waiting for those that qualify at the end, tell me that that's involved too, I'm in. And hey, those are a great list of benefits. Hey, sexy, aren't they? They were sexy enough for me to buy in. When I heard that list of benefits, I went, well, who won it? That's a no-brainer. I spent most of my life in a certain Christian tradition selling these benefits, and I've ran into very few people that didn't say, oh, I'm in. I looked at them and I said, why wouldn't you take that? Why wouldn't you? They say, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, you bet. But could we deliver on those things? Look, I've been at this thing a long time now. Shit. I've been a pastor now for like 20 some years. 27, 28 years, 29. Watched a lot of different stuff. And I'm kind of at this point right now where I think there's probably a couple things that I think everyone that wants to sign up for this thing should know. And that's what I'm going to give you this morning. In fact, two things. I want to talk about a mindset. It's kind of like an expectation that I think people need to have right-sized when they come in. And then I want to talk about a practice. And I'm going to use them, kind of talk about them in two separate containers, almost like two messages. And I think they're very interrelated, but I'll show you that at the end. So just be patient with me. First one I want to talk about is this mindset. It's called, it's not about me. People know in the spiritual long game, the people that stick around for a long time, they're introduced to this concept, I think, at some point, but early enough, where the events that go down, the framing of the purpose of their life, it gets readjusted so that their eyesight and their peripheral vision gets wider. They begin to realize that life isn't, they are not the center of their spiritual universe. It's not sexy saying that. Some come in saying, hey, get over yourself. It's not about you. But there is something to this that I think if you'll listen to me, you will understand what I'm getting at. We call it an other-centered way of seeing the world. It's contrary to what most believe this thing is about. It's kind of the flip of everything that I just told you those original selling points were. Where one system says, no, this is all about you. This is all about how your world, your experience in this world is going to become so much better. This side says, well, it may, but it will make your world around you better. Jesus, this is what I saw again and again and again in the life of Jesus. And his followers weren't always following the plan. I think they came into this thing with these other expectations, and Jesus was continually going, whoa, wait, what are we doing here? Hey, one night he catches them completely off guard. They're sitting around a table, and the way the story is told, each of his followers are trying to kind of earn the spot of sitting next to Jesus, looking like they're the man. They're Jesus's wingman. They're in this jockeying game going on, like Jesus loves me more, a little bit more than you. I think he's, I'm a little more important than you, whatever. He's doing that. And in the middle of all that, Jesus pulls off something. He actually gets up and he disrobes. He throws a towel around his waist. And he begins going one by one around the room to his followers, his disciples, with a basin of water and washing the grime off their feet. I don't think it took long for that room to go like dead silent. They're like, what the heck? Jesus is doing this one at a time, and he comes around to a guy named Peter, and Peter looks at Jesus and says, no way are you washing my feet. You're the rabbi. I'm just a disciple. You ain't washing my feet. Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. It's like he's looking at Peter and saying, if you don't get the importance of what I'm doing here, if you don't understand how critical it is that I'm the one doing this for you, you've missed it. He gets done and he says, okay, guys, I have just done something for you as an example. This is symbolic of what this whole thing is about. It's so that you will do this for one another. You will do this for your world. Giving of yourself. It's not about you. You know, I was 5 years old. My parents were going through a divorce. My dad was gone. It was probably, looking back over the timeline of our lives, probably one of the darker chapters we experienced as kids. But our next door neighbor, Chuck Malarchuk, he was Mr. Malarchuk to me. He called up in the middle of that season one night, talked with my mom and asked if I would like to get involved in minor hockey with his son, Chad. I remember the night when my mom walked into my room. I was actually getting ready for bed. I was just young, like 5, so it must have been early, 7, some, maybe earlier, I don't know. She probably wanted us to bed early. And she said, Jeff, would you like to get involved in hockey? I thought she was playing a joke on me. I'm just like, are you kidding me? you have to ask if I would like to get involved in hockey? I'm like, of course, of course. She says, well, if you do, then you got to put on some clothes, get out of your PJs. We got to go to the store. We got to get you some hockey equipment. I remember going down to Sears, 16th Avenue, 14th Street, right there, and walking into that hockey department of that store at that time, which I remember is like Disneyland, and a guy helping get all dressed. Mom said I wanted to sleep in my skates that night. I was like so intoxicated with the excitement of playing hockey. For the next 7 years, while my mom gutted out multiple jobs as a single parent family, trying to put food on our table, Mr. Malarchuk, he played the role of hockey dad for me. He took me to practices. He took me to games. He tied my skates when I wasn't strong enough. I remember one night, Mr. Malarchuk walked out of where the parents would sit in that arena. He walked around to where we were sitting on the bench as players. He leaned over the bench and he said, Jeff, come here. And I said, yeah, Mr. Malarchuk, what? And I thought he was going to comment because I had just scored. I thought he was going to tell me it's doing good. He said, Jeff, I saw you showboating after that goal. I saw you making a big deal about your goal. Don't do that again. I said, well, but I know what the other kids do. Don't do that. So, okay. Didn't really understand why, but he was playing the role of dad for me. He's going, that looks bad, Jeff. Don't do that. Makes the other team angry and it pisses them off. Don't. Okay. Over the years, Mr. Malarchuk, he did things for me that no one did in that era of my life. And it left, he even bought me Slurpees after the game sometimes. He got me home. He told my mom, oh, you know what? I think his skates are getting a little tight. You might need. He just took it upon himself. He made my problem his problem. And in doing so, he left a deep mark on me. To this day, I've played hockey my whole life now. Some of my closest friends are my community of hockey buddies. I look back and it's because Mr. Malarchuk made my problem his problem. I would put money down that many of us, actually, I would put money down that every one of us here today has at some point in our life benefited from a Mr. Malarchuk in your world. You felt the impact of someone acting from this other-centered way of life that Jesus promoted. Someone offered you perhaps their car, lent you a ride, gave you a ride, someone lent you something, someone vouched for you, perhaps they helped you get a job that you otherwise wouldn't have gotten, someone stood up and defended you when others were on the attack, someone forgave you after a boneheaded move you made, someone gave you a shoulder to cry, someone's been your rock in the middle of recovery, someone's done something that they didn't have to do. Not because they needed to appease some angry God up there or trying to avoid hell or because they needed something from you. No, they did it because down deep, they just got the sense that this is kind of the point of it all. And they might not have had the jargon down, but they discovered something that I'm telling you is critical to the long game of spirituality. And it's this mindset that says, this isn't all about me. This, like I said, this doesn't sell well because it's sometimes very inconvenient. Sometimes it'll cost you money that you have plans for. Sometimes it'll cost you time and energy. Sometimes you will have your best plans laid out, and then this nudge comes from inside or internal, a little poke in the ear, whatever it is, and you begin to see an opportunity, a cause. Something starts bending you in some way, and you go, oh, I could actually do something here for that might change something for them. And in that moment, what it means is you're saying no to something else. But when you do this, it's one of the most counterintuitive things. When you turn your eyes off of the mirror and onto this world around you, something begins to shift. It's the most counterintuitive thing. Where you begin to see something deeper and wider at play, a bigger reason for why you're even here. From day one, we've tried to make clear that what we're offering here through Friends Church is not just a get rich, get healthy, get successful scheme. This isn't just about your 11 keys to a better life. We're not selling that. We're selling a counterintuitive thing that turns your eyes beyond yourself to see something out there. And the effect, the long-term effect of you buying in to this bigger picture is life and world changing. But perhaps not in the way that sometimes it's pitched. I wish I could say that it happens instantly and every time you give of yourself, every time you look beyond yourself. I wish I could say that. I can't say that even. Sometimes there's no thank you. Sometimes there's no obvious change that you've made. But you responded. You got your eyes off of yourself. You looked deeper and wider and engaged in something. And I have to say, my experience has often been something even inside me just goes, yep. It's because it's the right thing. Trust it. Okay. It's a mindset. And if you're interested in the long game, I would highly suggest you consider keeping this close, keeping it on the mirror. It's not about me. Some of you will do this so well. In fact, of the two things I'm talking about today, typically within a crowd like this, it's like half of you really can do one of these things almost naturally. It's like, yeah, no problem. That's me in spades. I can do that. Where the other half, it's like, ugh. So I don't know if this one is your skill set. If you go, yeah, I've been making my life about others all my life. Awesome, maybe, to a degree. To which then is the other piece that I want to talk about. And in some ways, it's kind of like a paradox. It almost seems like it fights with it. And yet, it's very complementary. The second thing is this practice, and this practice is what we call being true to yourself. Being true to yourself. This is all about the journey of learning and understanding exactly who you are and what you most naturally and authentically bring to this world. So in one sense, I'm saying it's not about you. In this practice, I'm saying, well, it's kind of about you. It's kind of about knowing about you. And while you're making it about others, it's staying true to who you are. This process for some of us, this is a lot harder than the other. Some of you got this in spades. You have no problem knowing who you are, what you stand for, what you believe. And you have no problem living it out. Some of us, not so much. A friend of mine stresses out every year buying Christmas gifts for her family and her friends that she can't afford. Why? Doesn't want to upset people. Doesn't want to appear like she doesn't have enough. Doesn't want to appear a number of different ways. And so what does she do? She violates her own realities to be something else. I watch it with people who are continually trying to appear as if they're more put together than they really are, to be someone they aren't. Hiding parts of their lives, whether it's their health, their finances, their career struggles. They try to conceal their beliefs or their lack of belief for fear of what others might think or believe about them, how it might affect their relationships. Some will be dishonest about their own sexual identity or their gender identity. Some part of their life that they just don't think someone else will understand. Sometimes there are some who aren't living authentically because they just honestly don't even understand themselves and what's going on and who they are. Now, I say that because I would fall into that category. Part of it was I was afraid to be who I am. For some, I've grown up like that. I'm very people-pleasing oriented early on. And part of it was I didn't understand why I was doing certain things. What was causing it? And so I was living in a way that was often colliding with who I actually am. Years ago, I was introduced to the Enneagram. Well, before I say that, let me just give you an example. So my people-pleasing tendencies, I would often say yes to people. Yes to anything I was needed or asked. When I remember one Sunday after the service, we're running, and it happened to be a Sunday where we had this big family gathering happening at our place. And so Kathy was really stressed the night before because we just had way too much going on. But of course, as a people pleaser, I'm saying yes, and we'll host it, and we'll do this and everything. And so Kathy's like, you better be home shortly after church. I'm like, no worries. Relax, babe. We got this. After the church, there's this kid. He's in a dark place. He's been a runaway, blah, 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 the whole story. And I'm listening to him. I didn't recognize him. I say, what are you about? Why are you here? I hear his story. He doesn't have a way to get back to his home, foster home. I said, you need a ride? He says, yeah, I'm giving you a ride. So there I am, find out his home is out in Olds, of all things. I'm like, oh. So here I am, I'm on my way to Olds. Kathy's calling, going, are you coming? I'm like, I'm going to Olds. She's going, you're what? It was like at the height of the insanity of this side of me. I was saying yes to things, not realizing how much I was saying no to very important things in my life. It's undercutting my relationships, hurting the people I most valued and most loved. Years ago, I was introduced to the Enneagram, which helped me understand me a lot. Told me I'm a 2 on the Enneagram with a 3 wing. And if you're not familiar with the Enneagram, don't matter. All I learned is that my survival in my head depends on the love and approval of significant others. That's the story in my head. Had it a long time. Being connected in relationships is the main focus, which for a 2 often leads to just an overextension. Why? Because we need people to like us and approve of us. So it's yes, 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 yes. Let me do that. Let me do this. Let me help. Let me. The Enneagram helped me learn that to be true to me means I need to develop some serious boundaries. It's interesting, Vince, as you brought that up. It's what you're saying. I need to work to discover my personal core values, who I am, what I value most. There are a million things I can say yes to, but what are the best things? The things that really align well with me. Even though I might not please everyone, I'm pleasing the people I know my value system says this is important. And it doesn't mean I say no to people that I don't know. It just means that in the grand scheme of things, there's a hierarchy I gotta honor. Otherwise, I throw my world into chaos very easily. So whether it's the people-pleasing thing or it's just the hiding parts of your life, because you don't feel safe revealing this or that. And the inability to be true to yourself leads what I call to the spiritual short game. Just like having a me-centered orientation around the world. When you can't be honest, when you can't live your life in a way that's kind of like an open book, oh, that is a short game. And I've watched many people, sadly in religious circles, who quickly learn that there are certain rules, there are certain expectations, and they go, wow, okay, obviously they're not down with this part of my life, so we'll just keep that hidden. And I'm gonna skate around this, because I know if they ever found out that I don't believe that, or that this is part of my lifestyle, or this is a problem I'm dealing with, or this is an addiction I've been wrestling with for a while, I know that it's over in this community. So people are left in their minds believing they either comply and keep it all quiet and stay connected, stay plugged in, or they leave. Be true to yourself. This is a large part of the spiritual journey as well. Learning who you are, how you're wired, your gifts, your passions, your history, the way you were brought up, your relational style. All of this is one unique, very, very unique kind of package that you got going on that is so different from the person sitting beside you or around you. You got something going on in your world that is so different than everyone else. And your spirituality is going to look different than everyone else. That's the reality. So part of the game and staying in this game and getting to the gold, getting to the parts where the spiritual journey transforms you and transforms your world, it is critical that you do the work of figuring out who it is you are. And is the life you're living right now truly true to you? That's why on Sundays you'll hear us every now and then. We'll just attack a part of our lives about our journeys that someone would go, is that even spiritual? Yes. Because if you can get a hold of this, if you can think deeply about how you resonate around this area here, it will tell you some keys about who you are. And then you take that into your greater journey. We're all about self-learning and self-development and awareness of what it is. Why am I doing the things I'm doing? All of this is part of the spiritual journey. I know many of you have heard this. Sometimes what we don't need is more learning. Sometimes what we need is a reminder of what the hell it is we're doing here. Just again and again. Because there's some people that are getting disillusioned, even coming out on a Sunday, and then they get midweek and things start happening in their world that they weren't expecting. Difficulties in their journeys. And they're going, you know what? I don't know if I got staying power here. I think I need to just step out. I want to talk to you right now. If you can keep these things at the forefront of your mind, it's not about you. It's not about me, Jeff. Get back up. And then wait, continue to be true to me. If you could keep both of those in your pockets, I think you got a fighting chance to get into the gold. Let me ask you something. Is one of these easier for you than the other? Is there one of these? I know the first one, saying it's not about me, I got all day long. That's just part of my wiring. It's like, what, you need something? Sure, I'll help. I have been involved in causes and volunteers. I've been up to my eyeballs in all kinds of projects that were never mine. It's almost killed me. Part of my journey has been on this other side of going, wait, what are you doing here, Jeff? You are going to make a difference in your world, but boy, I tell you, laser your focus here, pal. Because you're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your marriage. You're going to lose a few things along the way here. Oh, okay. Other people, maybe your journey, your strength is knowing who you are. You have a clear boundary. You have your value system that's that's just continually rolling through your head. You're able to look at life and go, nope, 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 nope. Maybe your challenge this morning is taking your eyes off of your clearly orchestrated plans and intentions for me, for you, and saying, wait a second. What's going on around me here? In the life of your kids, in the life of employees, your neighbor. Maybe there's a cause that is desperately needing what you got, and you know it, but you're just saying, no way, because I got my plans. Maybe this morning the challenge for you is saying, ease up. Push the mirror aside. Just start focusing on what's going on around you. My prayer for each of us is that this isn't a short-lived experience. This isn't some Atkins diet you're signing up for that 6 months from now you're going to go, oh yeah, I found something better. No, this is a lifetime, a process that we're calling you to that will change you, yes. Will it change you for the better? Oh, I guarantee you, it will change you for the better. It might not be the kind of change that's sexy or that you're like asking for. It will change you. And the most beautiful thing is when we pick up the Mr. Malarchik towel, it will leave a mark on people. We're all about that beautiful picture that we think spirituality is creating in our world. And I want to invite you to be a part of that. Stick around. You know, prayer is one of those complicated things. I've stopped praying like Vince, asking for petty little things, but prayer does something for me. It just orients me. I become more aware of what I believe, this thing that I am part of something bigger and wider that I don't even get. And when I pray, when I just soften myself, when I open my ears and I just state what I want for this world, for the people around me. When I ask the divine for guidance to live out these things that I'm talking about, something changes inside of me. And so I just want to take a moment as I close to just pray. I want to pray for all of us today. It's not some magic button, but maybe it'll work for you the way it does for me, and that it just focuses me on why I'm here. God, divine, I invite your spiritual eyes and ears and sensitivities and awareness to the world that's around me. I pray, God, that the thing inside me that fights for doing it my way, God, I'd just be aware of it and I could just yield to something bigger and not let it run the whole show. I also understand I'm trying to be true to me, and I want greater awareness. I want to be reminded again, or when I'm doing it again, when I'm falling into those traps, help me see it. And may the impact of my life, God, be like that of Mr. Malarchik. Yeah. I pray that my life would leave a beautiful taste and a mark the lives of those around me. And I pray that for anyone here listening live or on YouTube, may we live lives that leave a mark. Amen. All right. Have a good week, you guys. Would you do this? Would you stick those two things on your mirror? Remember, it's not about you, and man, be true to you. All right, good. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Vince is up. He didn't tell me what you're going to do it on. But he's telling me it's amazing. It's unbelievable. So you'll want to be around for that. Enjoy the heat. Stay cold, all right? Go Flames, go.
All right.